Welcome to the Virginia Radical. I am your host, Shadrach. Join me for a look at some national news as well as local politics from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Today is January 6, 2022. So, happy Insurrection Day, everybody! This is the one-year anniversary of the time that a couple hundred sore-losing, conspiracy theory-driven troglodytes assaulted cops, broke into the Capitol building, attempted to murder members of Congress, and hang former Vice President Mike Pence. All of this happened because the sore-losing, conspiracy theory-driven, grotesque baby of a president that we had at the time could not accept that his 4 years in office were so fucking terrible that he convinced America to show up in record-breaking numbers to vote for Joe Biden. A man whose claim to fame at this point was being President Obama's goofy white friend. After the dust had settled from the closest coup attempt in recent American history, all of Trump's cucks in the GOP Congress doubled down on their objection to certifying the 2020 election. Even the ones who just got elected on the same ballot, like my dipshit Congressman Bob Good of the 5th District of Virginia. And let's have no delusions about why this happened. The peaceful transfer of power was attacked because of Donald Trump. Now, the traitors out there can make excuses and say that Trump called for a peaceful protest, but none of these people would have been there if this petulant child had just conceded that he lost the damn election 2 months prior. You know, the thing that every presidential candidate has done throughout our entire history, including Al Gore, who had a legitimate case to make. Instead, Trump embraced an alternate reality where everyone loves him and there's no way he could lose an election unless it was stolen. He lied to all of his supporters who have been fantasizing about overthrowing the government for all of their lives. And he told them if you don't fight like hell, you won't have a country anymore. Whatever the fuck that means. And what he was demanding that day was for the vice president to be threatened into throwing out millions of votes in order to illegally keep him as president. So don't insult anyone's intelligence by trying to say that it wasn't his fault. Yet, in the year following the insurrection, we have only managed to find two Republicans in Congress who think that having a president incite a coup might be something worth investigating. The thing that pisses me off the most about this is that I'm now in the position of admiring a politician with the last name of Cheney. The GOP has sunken so low into the depths of hell that the daughter of a war criminal is one of the only Republican members with any ounce of integrity left. Now, if America was a decent country, all of its citizens would demand to know what happened that day. Surely every sitting member of Congress who came close to having a front row seat to their colleagues' executions would be demanding the full story of what happened. But congressional Republicans want to shut down the investigation, sweep it under the rug, and pretend that it never happened. Or that it was Antifa, or the FBI, or whatever dumb shit they're lying about now. Let me touch on that for a second. Because I just watched a bunch of Trump supporters the other day try to claim that somehow this was all orchestrated by the Democrats just to make Trump supporters look bad. Really? You think you need the Democrats' help with that? Your trucks have nuts on them. Your stupid red hats scream, "I'm a fucking idiot," while you prove that point by yelling about chips in the vaccines and 5G tower depopulation programs. You're all running around now with "Let's Go Brandon" t-shirts because you think it's the most intelligent joke you've ever made, and sadly, I think you're right. I promise you, there is no way anyone could make you look worse than you already do. The only thing Democrats wanted that day was to finish the certification, get that dumpster fire out of the White House, and move the fuck on. So now the GOP is fine with everyone involved in this to just ignore congressional subpoenas and not even be subject to answering questions about January 6th. Because that's what innocent people do, right? They do everything they can to not show up and defend themselves or correct the record about their involvement. You know who did show up and answer questions in Congress for 11 hours straight? Crooked Hillary. The woman you should have voted for in 2016 if you actually give a shit about the Supreme Court. The one who would have been president if the Founding Fathers didn't decide that the presidency would be the one political office that is chosen by what states have more empty land instead of by the will of the people. She honored a congressional subpoena because she knew she wasn't fucking guilty of anything. Funny how none of these traitors have the balls to do the same. The obvious conclusion is they all know they're guilty. After all of this, a decent country would never elect a Republican again. Being a representative of the party of lies, conspiracy theories, and insurrectionist traitors would naturally be disqualifying for office. It's not as if we need them to be a check and balance on the Democrats. Every time the Democrats manage to have power, they check and balance themselves with the center-right moderates and light Republicans like Manchin and Sinema. But America is not a decent country. All signs indicate that Americans will vote for the insurrectionists to take back control of the House and Senate this year, and will probably make Trump president for life in 2024. I had hoped that the election in 2020 was a sign that we were still a country that rejects fascism. But as soon as we get a little bit of inflation due to a worldwide supply chain issue that has nothing to do with any Democratic policy, half of this country starts to think, well, maybe the fascists weren't all that bad. We've already proven this in 2021. New Jersey came real close to electing someone from the insurrectionist party as their next governor. And here in Virginia, we actually did it. Glenn Youngkin will be sworn in as Virginia's next governor on January 15th. He won in a state that voted for Joe Biden over Trump by 450,000 votes just a year prior. Glenn must have had a really great platform, right? Of course not. He won by riling up suburban voters by using the GOP's newest lie that schools are teaching their children critical race theory. And unless your 8-year-old is in fucking law school, they absolutely are not. But the GOP never lets facts interfere with a good wedge issue, do they? So Youngkin ran with this lie. He got parents showing up to school board meetings for the first time ever to bitch about this new boogeyman. And even when school board members started getting death threats, he kept pushing this lie for his own political gain. And now that he's won, I haven't heard a word about the dreaded CRT that was supposedly infecting all of our schools to make white kids feel guilty about slavery or whatever the hell they pretended it was. And this is how Republicans win. They just make shit up. And the American electorate is dumb enough to go along with it. People just eat up the latest talking point and get duped into rage voting about shit that's not real. But it always seems to work. But Youngkin didn't win this on his own. He also had help from the Democratic candidate, Terry McAuliffe. Virginia has a unique rule that governors can only serve one consecutive term. So every 4 years, we get someone new. It's a pretty cool system, actually. Former governors are allowed to run again after they've been out for 4 years, but I don't think Virginians like the idea of a two-term governor. And this last election kind of backs me up on that. But Terry McAuliffe saw a group of more progressive candidates running in the Democratic primary and decided that what Virginia really needed was to go back to the policies of 2013 when he was last elected. And for some reason, voters in the primary thought that this was just a great idea. Now, McAuliffe could have campaigned on the awesome legislation that Democrats have passed since they took full control of the Virginia state government in 2018. Things like allowing 45 days of in-person early voting and mail-in voting. They also got rid of a law for early voting that required you to give a reason that you couldn't go on election day, instead of just allowing people to vote whenever it's most convenient to them. They expanded abortion rights and got rid of a provision that forced women seeking an abortion to have their vagina probed for an unnecessary ultrasound to try and shame them for their choice. They voted to raise the state minimum wage to $12 an hour by 2023, which is a massive improvement from the ridiculous $7.25 that Republicans thought was plenty for you to live on. Oh yeah, they also made Virginia the first state in the South to legalize marijuana. So Terry could have made his campaign about keeping all of this progress going. But instead, his entire message was, Glenn Youngkin likes Donald Trump. Did you know Glenn Youngkin is endorsed by Trump? Glenn Youngkin said Trump is a big reason why he's running. And that was it. This idiot learned nothing from 2016 and thought he could win an election by attacking Trump and not talking about what the hell he wanted to do as governor. Back in 2018, I remember watching Democratic candidate for Congress Abigail Spanberger seal her win against the Republican incumbent Dave Brat in one of their debates. All Brat did was talk about how Spanberger is just Nancy Pelosi. She's going to do whatever Nancy Pelosi says. She'll be a rubber stamp for Nancy Pelosi. And Spanberger stood next to him on that debate stage and said, in case you're unaware of this, you're not running against Nancy Pelosi. My name is Abigail Spanberger, and here's why I'm running. And Terry McAuliffe set himself up for Glenn Youngkin to have that exact same moment in one of their debates, because all Terry did was try to tie him to Trump. So that's how Democrats lose. But there is a much larger group of people that deserve some blame for Virginia turning red, and that is the voters of Virginia. More accurately, the non-voters. As I mentioned before, Biden won the state in the 2020 election. He received 2.4 million votes. Would you like to guess what Terry McAuliffe got in 2021? 1.5 million. So 900,000 voters decided, nah, it's just the governor's race. Who cares? I think I'll sit this one out. Now, of course, there's going to be less turnout in off-year election. But let's look at the Republican numbers, shall we? Trump votes in 2020, 1.9 million. Youngkin votes in 2021, 1.6 million. Only 300,000 Republicans decided to sit this one out. So 600,000 more Republicans accurately understood that state elections matter. Now, I've been repeatedly calling Republicans a bunch of fucking idiots, and for good reason. But you know what? This is the one area where they are smarter than the Democrats. If there's an election for fucking dog catcher, Republicans show up to vote. Some on the left won't get off their ass unless they're promised a free pony and a new car. This is exactly what happened in 2016. There were millions of people who didn't like either candidate, myself included, but Republicans knew that they could use Trump to take over the Supreme Court, and they didn't hesitate to vote, even if they didn't really like the guy. And that's what we need more of on the left. We need to be more practical with our vote. You are never going to get everything you want from a candidate if they have a poor position on some policies that you care about or they just don't inspire you enough. You need to get the fuck over it, because as you sit on your high horse thinking that you're just above the party politics, people are dying. I don't know how Virginians watched Governor Greg Abbott of Texas sign off on creating vigilante squads to stop abortion providers and then allow a Republican to win in Virginia. I don't know how they watched Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida force schools to make their kids spread a plague as much as possible and then allow a Republican to win in Virginia. The reality is, our state governments affect our lives far greater than the presidency does, but somehow we just don't get that. The number of left-leaning voters greatly outnumber the right, but it doesn't mean shit when we don't vote. I wanted to start the show and focus on local politics because I want people to understand this. We all hate politics, and voting can seem like a hassle sometimes, but I promise you, it's a lot less work than trying to perform your own abortion with a coat hanger. And that is now where we could be headed in Virginia with a Republican governor. So we need to start voting in every election. And if you're someone that's left-leaning in Virginia, but you just couldn't bring yourself to vote for Terry McAuliffe, are you aware that there was a primary? Because less than 500,000 people voted in that election. This small amount of voters chose McAuliffe as the candidate because 2 million other voters didn't bother to show up. We had much better candidates to choose from, and if you ever want to see more progressive candidates win, you need to vote for them in the primaries. Now, Glenn Youngkin may turn out to be more of a moderate guy. During the campaign, he pledged that he would concede the race if he lost, which is more than I can say for a lot of Republicans, including his supporters that I watched complain all night long about how the Democrats are stealing this election too, all the way up until Glenn Youngkin won, and then they suddenly decided that it was legitimate and fair. It seems like Youngkin won't recriminalize marijuana or make mask mandates illegal, but all we can do is wait and see. His base wants Ron DeSantis, so he may end up being pushed in that direction. And this is another reason why I started this show, because I want to document exactly what happens over the next 4 years here in Virginia. Plus, I really needed a space to yell about things so I don't go insane. So good luck to everyone here in Virginia, and I hope that everyone around the country can learn from our mistake. And that's the news for today. America, I have to tell you something that you're not going to like. We have a two-party system in this country. Our system is set up in such a way that only a candidate from the Democratic or the Republican Party has any chance of winning an election. Now, I'm not asking you to like this system. Frankly, it's complete bullshit. But it is the reality that we live in. And we can either accept that reality and deal with it properly, or we can just try to ignore it. If you want to see third-party candidates become a viable option in our elections, I encourage everyone to support ranked choice voting. That is the only way that I can see to give a third-party candidate a chance. But until that happens, no third-party candidate can ever break more than 5% of the vote, and it's usually less than 1%. So anyone who is honest with themselves knows that once an election is over, it will either be a Democrat or a Republican that takes office. Those are your choices, and these two parties are not the fucking same. I've been hearing about how we need an infrastructure package for over 30 years, and last year, the Democrats actually passed one. Democrats keep pushing to increase the minimum wage. Republicans want it to be zero. Democrats keep fighting to protect voting rights. Republicans want to make it as hard as possible for you to vote. Democrats believe your right to an abortion is none of the government's fucking business. Republicans want to force you to keep that pregnancy against your will. Democrats want Trump to face consequences for the insurrection. Republicans want him to become the Speaker of the House. Democrats want to take pandemics seriously, and Republicans just want to play political games as 800,000 people die. Now, if you care about any of this, you need to start voting for Democrats. You don't have to like them. You're just hiring them to do a job. They will at least try to do something good, while Republicans will only dismantle the government and give themselves tax breaks. And if it seems like Democrats can't get anything done right now, that's because there are not enough of them in office. The Senate is tied, with the vice president being able to cast the majority vote. That means Joe Manchin has all the power to decide what gets done, because not a single Republican is willing to help the Democrats pass anything. We can make Joe Manchin obsolete if we put more Democrats in the Senate. So please stop with this childish notion that you can send a message by not voting or voting for a candidate that might get 1% of the vote. You're not a rebel. You're not a free thinker. You're just an asshole who doesn't really care about your fellow citizens. When you choose to make yourself irrelevant, you actively allow the fascists to take back control. You know the consequences and decide you're okay with allowing the suffering of millions of people. Nothing is more damaging to this country than voter apathy that creates an electorate that on its best day can reach only about 60% voter turnout. Once we get back to the days of back alley abortion deaths and we build another Guantanamo Bay for Trump's political prisoners, I want those of you who sat on the sidelines and did nothing to stop it to know that the blood is on your hands. And that's our show for the day. If you enjoyed this, you know what to do. Please give this a like and share with your friends, and be sure to subscribe to help me keep this going. If you're really awesome, please consider supporting me at patreon.com/thedarklordshadrack for as little as $1 a month. If you would like to send me some hate mail, you can contact me at thedarklordshadrack@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and make sure you vote. See you next week.